brethren. Again, the scripture reading this evening we take it from Acts, the 18th chapter. I'll be reading verses 4 through 11. Acts 18, 4 through 11. I'll be reading from the New King James. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. The title of this evening's lesson is Hard Preaching, and sometimes you have a hard time coming up with a lesson title, and that's what I had there. Hard preaching, you know, you hear that terminology, you might think of a lot of different things, and there's a lot of different ways hard preaching could be defined. It could be defined that hard preaching is because of the preacher. It could be determined that hard preaching is based on the audience, because of the way the audience takes it. Perhaps hard preaching could be defined by the location where the preaching is taking place. There's a lot of different ways you can look at it. The way I want to look at it this evening is in relation to the place where Paul finds himself. Hard preaching in a hard place. I think that's where Paul finds himself in Acts chapter 18. Acts is traveling to Corinth, as we see in Acts chapter 18. In those first couple verses, it says he departs from Athens and he comes to Corinth. And, you know, I just have so much admiration for Paul and all the preaching that he did. If you think of him compared to the other apostles, certainly we have more records of Paul and all his preaching and missionary journeys all over the place. I certainly admire Paul. I admire Paul because he worked full-time and he preached full-time. I admire that about the Apostle Paul. I admire many things about Paul and many things that he did, but one of the traits of Paul is that Paul was not afraid to take the gospel to a hard place. He was not afraid to take the gospel to a hard location, and I think there's some powerful lessons we can learn from that. Corinth was certainly not a perfect city. It certainly wasn't a beautiful city. In fact, when we look at it in terms of spiritual, using our spiritual eyes, it was a city that had a lot of problems. Corinth was a port city where the gentlemen would come in and they would come into port and there would be all kinds of sinful activities that would go on, I'm sure, and we have all the wealth of Corinth because it's a port city. And because of that wealth, there's a lot of luxuries in Corinth. And you start to describe Corinth, and I think what we see is there might be some similarities between Corinth and the United States. Wealth, luxury, people living with a lot of immoral habits, a lot of sinful habits. You know, Paul was willing to go to a hard place to preach the gospel. You know, I wonder if we're willing to do the same from time to time. I know we support many individuals that go overseas and they preach many places that are far more harsh in relation to preaching the gospel, the way that the gospel is received and whatnot. But I think many Christians, as they sit in the United States, they look at the United States, I think many people that are Christians and have a Christian mindset will say, you know, the soil has changed over the course of time in the United States. You know, people are not quite as receptive as they once were. And people tell me all these stories about these gospel meetings that went on for weeks, church buildings filled, and it just seems like there's a trend in the United States that perhaps we could turn around, but it seems slowly but surely the soil is changing in the United States. Perhaps it's becoming more like a Corinth. And I think there's questions that we have to ask ourselves is, as the soil changes in the United States, what are we going to do? And I think looking at Corinth is a good place to look, because we're going to see a preacher who's willing to go into a hard location, and I think from it we can see some strategies that perhaps we have forgotten. Some strategies that Paul utilized when he went into a hard location, a location where they weren't as receptive perhaps to the gospel, where he was going to run into opposition. What were strategies he used when he was preaching the gospel? I think we'll find this here in Acts chapter 18. Certainly Corinth had a lot of problems. I think they certainly were loving the things of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever." Certainly there's a lot of problems in Corinth. And what do we find in Corinth that's developed from Paul's preaching is we have the church in Corinth. You know, you think of that. The church in Corinth. The church in a sinful place. You know, there's a lot of things that perhaps in the United States we try to compare to Corinth, but I would suggest to you that Corinth was a pretty rough place. Maybe you want to say, well, Corinth is kind of like the Chicago of the United States, or perhaps Los Angeles, you know? That's what Corinth was like. Well, I don't know if we can draw a perfect comparison, but I think what we can say is that certainly Corinth was a hard place. And we can see that because, you know, Paul ends up writing letters to Corinth after he leaves, and he writes them to support, and he also writes them to condemn some of the things they're doing. The church in Corinth had a lot of problems. They had a lot of worldliness all around them, and on occasion, they were definitely influenced by that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we actually find a report of something that he says, this isn't going on even. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man and his father's wife." Yeah, Corinth had some problems. Paul was trying to address those problems. Paul went to a hard place and he preached the gospel. He set up the church there. He did the best he could in that area. And he would continue trying to support them throughout his life. Perhaps there's some strategies that we can learn from Paul preaching in such a hard place. Maybe strategies that we've forgotten. Because for so long in the United States, we've had good soil. We've had soil where I think we would say, at least if we rewound a few years, that people were very receptive to the gospel. But as the years go on, we see changes in the soil, and we wonder, perhaps, how should we respond? I think Paul shows us something very powerful in verse 4. Acts chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." Well, what's the powerful message you're going to take away from that? Is Paul went out to find individuals. He went out into the hard environment. He went out into the world. He went. Will we go as well? You know, I think for so long, because we lived in this luxury of such good soil, we would just let the people come to us. You know what? If they want to hear about the gospel, if they want to hear about Jesus Christ, we'll just let them come to us, and that's fine, and that's good, and that'll work out. You know, we'll have these gospel meetings, we'll have everybody come. And you know what? A few years ago, I think that worked really well. People would come. People did have questions. People were concerned. They had spiritual questions. They wanted to meet. They wanted to discuss. But the question is, now has time changed? Not saying that we shouldn't have gospel meetings. That's not what I'm trying to say. But this one core idea I think that we're missing out on is that when Paul came into a hard city, what did he do? He went out to them. Where do we find Paul? He comes from Athens to Corinth, and where is the first place he goes? He goes into the synagogue. Now, what would a synagogue be the equivalent of in our time and place? Certainly, the synagogue is not a Christian gathering place. You know where Paul went? He went right into where the people were that needed the gospel. He went into actually a religious establishment of someone else. Now, some people will say, that's too forward. You can't do that. That's what Paul did. Not only did he do this, but if you watch the pattern throughout the New Testament, this is what Paul follows. Every time he goes to town, where does he go? He goes to other religious establishments that aren't the Lord's church.
Can you believe that? It's hard for us to wrap our heads around it, because I think that we have been dealing with good soil so long, we haven't dealt with hard soil a long, long time, and as this hard soil comes, if we think people are going to come to us on all occasions, I think we're mistaken, sadly mistaken. Is if we want to get the gospel out, what must we do? We must go. We have to take it to them. Even if it means taking it to their religious establishment, I think, yeah. That's what we see Paul do. In fact, as we go throughout this lesson, we'll see that that's almost a tradition of Paul. Is that whenever Paul showed up in a new town, where did he go? He went to the synagogue. That's not a Christian establishment. He went to the people that he knew that needed the gospel. He went and he seeks them out. Well, we do the same. He traveled from Athens to Corinth. He didn't travel there for a vacation. Everywhere that Paul went, he viewed it as an opportunity to spread the gospel. Even when he's arrested and he's sent to Rome, he views it as an opportunity to carry the gospel to the people that need it. We see Paul on the Sabbath day. Where do we see him? At a synagogue. Now, this is like an individual that was perhaps a Baptist, and they try to go back to the Baptist establishment. Because some people will say, well, Paul was a Jew, he was an Israelite, so that wouldn't be strange for him to maybe go to the synagogue. He's not a Jew anymore, don't you understand? He goes back, and he has a tremendous love for his Jewish brethren, and he wants to go back, and he wants to tell them the gospel. This is like someone converted out of the denominational world, and they say, I want to go back to where I was, and try to tell those people what the truth is. You know, some of these might be hard for us to see, but when we look at Paul, I admire him so much, because Paul's going from hard preaching and a hard place. He's going to go get the people that need to hear the gospel. I think there are two very critical ideas that we see throughout the scriptures, and perhaps we've forgotten one of them. One I think we're very comfortable with, but the other one perhaps we've forgotten. There are two core ideas when it comes to evangelism. Number one, going. Number two, defending. And I think we're really comfortable with the defending, but I don't know if we're as comfortable with the going anymore. What does it say in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See, Paul understood that idea, and he was willing to follow through with it. He was willing to go to those who needed the truth, those that needed it. Even though it might be an adverse situation, a situation where he's outnumbered, a situation where he's in the minority, you think there's a lot of Christians hanging out at the synagogue? That's where he goes, where the people need the gospel. Have we forgotten that simple idea? Paul shows us. And perhaps as our society decides they're going to turn away from God, turn their back on God, perhaps we need to go back to the first century church, look at how evangelism was done. They did not wait for people to come to them. Paul came into town and said, I'm going to take it to you. I'm going to take it to you. The other idea about evangelism, and I think we're a little bit more comfortable with this one, is defending the truth. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I think we're comfortable with that idea. You know, if individuals come to me, I'll answer any question they have. If they ask me about instrumental music, I'll answer that question. If they ask us about communion, I'll answer that question. If they ask me why, individuals should be baptized, I'll answer that question. Any of those questions I'll answer. But have we forgotten the simple idea of going? That's what Paul did. When Paul went from Athens to Corinth, the first thing he did is he went to the synagogue, which was his tradition, to try to convert individuals. Have we forgotten that? You know, I think Christians in America, if we rewind and we look back, I think there was a period where the going wasn't as big a deal. You know, my neighbor, all these people that had Christian values and ideas, they were willing to discuss them on a daily basis. They were open to it. The going wasn't necessarily important, but as the soil hardens, as the soil gets rougher, as people turn away from God, do you think people are going to be asking those questions anymore? We're going to have to go like Paul did. And some people say, this is really upfront. He's going into another religious establishment. You know what? Some of my brethren have actually started this. They'll try to show up to denominational meetings and they'll ask questions. They'll just ask questions. They'll try to, some people say, no, you shouldn't do that. What is Paul doing? He's in a synagogue. And if you think that this is an isolated case, that Paul only does this one time, you're wrong. Paul is willing to go where the people are, the people that need to hear the gospel. Have we just got stuck in our little group and say we'll defend each other, we'll protect each other, but we're not going to go out there into the scary world? I wonder what's happened to the call. I wonder what's happened to evangelism. Do we even give people a chance anymore? Do we even go and try to spread the message? Because certainly the message is being crushed by our society around us. And we know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. And we know to us, it's the saving power of God. But just because we think that the world is going to perceive it as foolishness, does that mean we don't go anymore? Well, they're going to see it as foolishness anyway, so we're not going to go. That's not what Paul does. Paul says, I'm going to go into town, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to talk to him about this. But I wonder if you've adopted this mentality of, we're just going to defend, we're never going to go. You know, I'm not going to waste my time because they're going to reject it anyway. Well, if you all take on that attitude, what happens is the truth never gets spread. Well, I'm just going to defend the truth. If they ask me any questions, I'll answer them. But I'm never going to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not going to tell anybody about the gospel. I'm not going to tell anyone about the Bible. You know what's going to happen? That's exactly what Satan wants to happen. He doesn't want anyone to talk about Christians. He doesn't want anybody to talk about baptism. He doesn't want anyone to talk about anything in this book. And that's exactly what our society is slowly squeezing out. Slowly squeezing out one at a time. You know that the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, what I see unique about the sower is it doesn't matter about the soil, he's always planting, or the sower is always planting the seed, which is the Word of God. The sower never stops. Doesn't matter if the soil is rocky, doesn't matter if he thinks that, you know what, I might not plant here because it's a little rough soil, and after a while they're going to be choked by worldliness. That's not what we see. Is the sower keeps on planting. I wonder if Christians in the United States, what we've decided to do, is you know what? The soil's getting a little rough, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop planting. You know why? Because the seed's not going to do any good anyway. The seed's not going to grow, produce any Christians here. It's not going to produce any Christians here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop planting. I'm going to stop going out to the world. I'm going to keep all the seed to myself. If someone comes and talks about the seed, I might hand a couple out, but I'm not going to spread the seed everywhere I go, which is what the planter did. It doesn't matter the soil. We have to keep going. I think that's a critical lesson that we have to learn here in Acts chapter 18. When we look at Paul, and he is going from city to city, what is one of the things that he's doing? He is going and he is seeking out those people that need to hear the gospel. Also in Acts chapter 18, as we look at it, we look at this passage, is that I think he gives them a chance and then he moves on. And I don't think Christians are very comfortable with this idea, so I'm going to try to explain as best I can. As we read on through the situation, it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own head, I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. I want to be very careful about this because emotions run high when I start discussing this. But I think Paul ran his hard preaching like this. I'll give you a chance, but then I'm going to have to move on. Now, be very careful. What I'm not saying is Paul gave up on these individuals, but what I am saying is that Paul would give individuals a shot, and then he would move on. And sometimes I feel like Christians, when they hear that, what they hear when I say move on is they hear give up. That's not what I'm saying. Paul understood that as he was preaching in a hard place, he had to move on. He had to move on. And I think sometimes we as Christians get stuck. We get that one person that we must convert to the gospel of Christ. And we devote all our time and energy into that one person to forsake all others. You know, imagine if Paul did that. If Paul came into Corinth, and the first person that rejected the gospel, he said, oh, I'm not going to ever move on from you. I'm going to study with you every single day, even if you don't want to study. Even if you curse me out and you try to kill me and all these things, I'm going to stay with you forever. I'm never going to move on. He would have never converted all those individuals in Corinth. And we're going to see that as the passage unfolds. I'm not saying give up. That's not what I'm saying. But there comes a point where I think the Bible tells us to move on. We've got to move on. It's what's practical. I also think in America, we're starting to get this idea that preaching has to have a long period of time to be successful. Preaching doesn't have to have a long time to be successful. We have some brothers in Christ that went over to Kenya. They say they can study with individuals and under an hour they'll obey the gospel. It's a different soil over there. They're baptizing 5-10 people every day. Going through town for town, preaching the gospel, people are obeying it and accepting it. It's a different soil. But I think in America, we've got to the point where we think preaching needs to take a long time. And because preaching needs to take such a long time, we will stay with one individual for such a long time that it will monopolize our time. Preaching can actually be quick. If we look at the conversion throughout Acts, if we look at the eunuch and the jailer and all these situations, people can become Christians relatively quickly. The Bible can do that which it is designed to do. But the problem is the Bible has to come into contact with individuals. When's the last time you had a Bible discussion? When's the last time this word got into one of your friend's ears, one of your family's ears? When was the last time? The word is powerful enough to do that which it's designed to do, but what I'm afraid is we have laid it aside and we don't use it anymore. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of the soul and the spirit and of the joints of marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Bible can work quick on individuals, but we have got into this mindset that we have to stay with someone a long, long time for them to become a Christian, to obey the truth. And I'm not saying give up on individuals. That is not what I'm saying. But it does come a point where we do have to move on. The gospel is powerful enough to do that which it's designed to do. And what is it designed to do? That people's hearts are cut and they become Christians. That's what it's designed to do, to transform our lives. It's powerful enough to do that. And I understand it's a lifelong process, but I'm talking about becoming a Christian. You know, some people go after the same person for 20 years. And they'll never go after another person. Maybe you've fallen into that trap on occasion. I think I have. I have a high school friend. I think I dedicated so much time to him. I would study with him every chance I got. Every chance I got, I just study. Every chance I got. You know, he got to the point, he don't want to study anymore. I became so annoying to him. Every time he saw me, he knew what I was going to talk to him about. I mean, I love this guy to this day, and every time I see him, I probably will bring it up again, you know? But there's a time where I need to move on. Where my time was so monopolized with this person that I would not move on and preach the gospel to others. You know, emotions run high when you talk about this subject. And I think all people probably have someone in their lives like that, where they want to be converted to the gospel so bad, but I think you have to ask yourself the question, is it time to move on to some other souls that would be perhaps more receptive? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, I think it gives us this idea. It says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before a pig, lest they trample it underfoot and turn and attack you." Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. You know, if you have a pig, and you lay a $100 bill in front of that pig does not care that's a $100 bill. If you take the pearl and you lay it in front of that pig, it does not care that that pearl is laid in front of it. It does not understand. It does not care about it. And sometimes when we go out into the world and we present the gospel to people, they don't see the pearl, they don't see the $100, they just see it as trash. And you know what? Sometimes we can't just keep throwing it in front of them again and again and again and monopolizing our time with doing that. I think there's a warning in the Bible, and the warning is you have to make a judgment call. It's not an easy judgment call. And once again, I'm not saying give up. I'm just saying sometimes we have to move on, but our time can be wasted with people that have no interest in the gospel. We can be spending our time all the time over here because we love this person, and we say, "Hey, will you please have a Bible study with me? When we have three people over here that are knocking on our door and asking all kinds of Bible questions. But we'll ignore these people and say, hey, wait off, you know, I know you got a Bible question, but just wait, I'm trying to get this person over here. You know, just wait a little while, this person doesn't care. Now, they might care tomorrow, they might care next week, but sometimes we've got to move on. Sometimes we spend so much time on one task that it monopolizes our time. Sometimes we have to move on. Sometimes we have things like that in our life. See, my personality is, when I start something, I like to finish it, you know. We have this one hill in Pleasant County where I grew up, and this hill, it's more like a cliff, and someone was hired to mow it, which would be weed-eating mainly. And they said that my brothers and I would look like ghosts up there, because they said to this day, people will come out and watch this. That's how steep this was. People will come out on the back porch and watch this because, you know, we were going to fall at some point. Maybe we would. So we were all up there. You know, when I started a job like that, I would want to finish it. And that's the same thing as when I meet with someone and I start studying with them, is I want them to become a Christian. And I want to keep studying, but there comes a point where they're like, no, I don't want to study anymore. Well, should I keep going? I don't want to study anymore. I'll come back. I'm not giving up on them, but sometimes you've got to move on. I think the Bible gives us this idea, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both fall into a ditch. I think the Bible gives the idea of sometimes we have to make a judgment call and say, you know what? These people are not receptive at this time. Key word, at this time. I'm not saying give up with all people forever. I'm just saying move on. The Bible plans that the Bible tells these individuals that they're going to be rejected. Matthew chapter 10, verses 13 and 14 says, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon them, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive nor hear your words when you depart from the house or city, shake the dust from your feet. For surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. God tells these people, when you go out, you're going to get rejected. You're going to get rejected. And what's the common trend that we see in the Bible? It was move on. But I think in our small little world, what we do is we lock on to one person. And we say, I'm not going to talk to any other person about the gospel until this person's converted. I think it's a mistake. Sometimes you have to move on. I'm not saying give up. I'm going to have to say that multiple times. But you cannot give up. But sometimes you're going to have to move on. You have to move on. We see it in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, it says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Acts chapter 13, different situation. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. What's Paul saying? You guys have rejected the gospel. You don't want to listen to us. You don't want to hear us. You don't want to study. You don't want to listen. You know what we're going to have to do? We got to move on. I know this is hard to hear sometimes, but I think it's a message that we find in the Bible. What is Paul, when he traveled to Corinth, the first person they talked to in Corinth, he says, hey, this Jesus, he came to this world, he died for us, and the guy says, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And Paul says, well, let me try to show you through the scriptures. He sits down and he shows them through the scriptures, and then he says, well, you want to study tomorrow? The guy says, sure. He may study the next day. Third day comes around. He says, hey, you want to study again? He says, no. Sometimes we shove ourselves on people and say, hey, let's study again. They're saying no. They're saying no. Can we move on? If Paul got caught up in one individual, you know what would have happened? He would have stopped planting the seed. I really do believe that. And I don't think this was easy for Paul. When you look at the writings of Paul, he loved the Jews. You look at Romans chapter 9, he starts writing about the Jews in Romans chapter 9, but other places, he loved the Jews. He loved the Israelites. He himself, he came from the sect of the Pharisees. He loved the Jews, but you know what? He knew sometimes when they had rejected, they rejected, he had to move on. Not give up. I don't think Paul ever gave up on them. He loved them so much. He writes in his writings, I want you guys to obey the gospel. I want you to love Jesus Christ. I want you to do the things that are right. But he knew that he had to move on. I think that's a hard message for a lot of us. And I think it's a message in relation to evangelism that perhaps we've forgotten in the United States. When it comes to our evangelistic efforts, I think we have to consider, are we stopping planting the seed because we stopped on one person so long or two people so long? Have we stopped planting the seed because of one person? I think we have some questions to consider. I think there's a valid question of how long should you stay with an individual, and I think that that question depends on the individual. Is the individual still willing to study with you? Is the individual still willing to talk to you? All of those things. I think those need to be discussed. I don't think there's a perfect metric of saying, hey, they say this one time and then you're done. That's not what I'm saying. But the question is, would moving on help some other people that are more receptive than this person right now? I think sometimes we stick with the person that's not listening, and we abandon these people that are ready and eager to hear the words of God. Number one, I think we learned from Paul that we have to go out and seek these people. Number two, when we look at this situation, is Paul realizes that there's a time where he has to move on. It's not that he doesn't love these kind of people. It's not that he's giving up on these people. He just understands that they are rejecting the gospel for the time being. He'll come back. He'll try to preach the gospel again to them. But for now, he's got to move on to people that could be more receptive. Another lesson that I think we can learn from Paul as the situation unfolds is once we kind of turn to the end there, and we see this pattern unfold over and over again. If you look at Acts chapter 17, he does the same thing. He goes into the city. What's the first thing he does? He goes into the synagogue. What happens? They reject him. And what do they do when they reject him in Thessalonica? He leaves town. He follows this pattern over and over again. It's not like I'm telling you something that we're not seeing in the New Testament. When Paul goes into a city, he goes and finds the people that need to hear the gospel. Once he goes there, he gives them a certain amount of time, and after a while he realizes, making a judgment call, that my time, I need to move on. Third lesson that we can learn from Paul, I think, is that he definitely had some perseverance, and it's something that we're going to need as the soil changes here in America. How long was Paul here in Corinth? He goes into Corinth, he's preaching in the synagogue. There's some people that he has to say, you know what, I'm going to have to turn to these other people because you've rejected me. He says that he rejected the message, rather. And at the end, how long does he stay at Corinth? Well, verse 11 says, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I think a third lesson we can learn in evangelism from Paul is perseverance. You know, people believe because they hear the words of God. But are people hearing the words of God anymore? They're certainly not hearing them in the school. Trust me, I'm there. They're not hearing too much Bible in the school. All right? Are people hearing the Bible from their parents, I wonder? Well, it seems as more people turn away from God, there's going to be less parents teaching. So where does the gospel have to come from? It has to come from individuals who are persevering and willing to go, willing to move on, willing to preach the gospel to those individuals. Why aren't we preaching the gospel to those that are around us? Perhaps it's because we think we're busy. Perhaps because we're afraid. Perhaps on occasion, you know, I mean, we can come up with dozens of excuses. But the basic idea is if people don't hear the gospel, if we give up, if we don't persevere, if we don't keep going like Paul did for 1.5 years. For 1.5 years, he went on in this hard city. Imagine if we went into Los Angeles or Chicago and we gave it 1.5 years. 1.5 years of hard preaching, of hard teaching, of going and trying to seek and save the lost. Will we persevere? Romans chapter 10, verse 14, I think it's an obvious observation, but I think it's an observation that sometimes perhaps we forget. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What happens if we go silent? What happens if Christians go silent? What happens if hard preaching doesn't take place? The gospel message does not get spread. You know, it says there were many other Corinthians that heard, believed, and were baptized. We see that in chapter 18. We see an individual named Crispus in verse 8. We see many individuals that believed on the Lord and were baptized. You know, that wouldn't have happened if Paul got stopped along the way. We have to make sure that we're preaching the whole counsel of God, Acts chapter 20. Verses 25 through 27 says, indeed, now I know that you all among you, I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. You see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Are we willing to be persevering? You know, Paul writes to Timothy to try to encourage him. He tells him to be long-suffering in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He charges them, and he tells them that false teachers are going to come into the world in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So he tells them to persevere, to be long-suffering, to keep up the good fight. Will we keep up the good fight when it comes to evangelism? You know, don't be afraid. Don't pack up. There's people in Sandyville that need us. There's some people in Jackson County that need us. We have to go out to the world and do the best we can. You know, some people say, well, you preach too hard on this or that. And you know, when I went out, you know, and started preaching around 18, there's a lot of people that, you know, challenged me and would say all kinds of things about me. And a lot of people would say I preach too hard on certain topics from time to time. But I kind of go by this mantra. If I'm preaching the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and I'm preaching the truth, that's a good metric to go by. You know, if it's driven out of love and it's make sure it's based on truth, you know, I'll keep pressing on. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I think I worry about America. I worry about the Christians in America. As our society creeps in and as the soil gets rougher, how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond like Paul did? Because when I look around, I think we maybe took up a more passive approach. We think that defending is okay. We think that not going is okay. We think that sticking with just a few individuals is okay. When really, that's not the picture of evangelism we see in the New Testament. Going, preaching, moving on when appropriate, and making sure you persevere through all the rough times that happen. You know, sometimes there's someone next door that needs the gospel, but we won't even go next door. Paul was willing to go through a whole city that he knew was going to be perhaps not receptive. He stays there 18 months and he keeps preaching. I've read a lot about Marshall Feeble. Marshall Feeble was a gospel preacher, and Marshall Feeble kind of follows this dynamic that Paul set up. And actually, one of the things from my readings of Marshall Feeble would go into a town and he wouldn't leave until he established the Lord's church in that city. He wouldn't leave. I mean, that was one of the, and maybe people say, well, he lived in a different time. People were more receptive. That was kind of the way he handled it. He went into a city. He would go and find people because there was no church set up in that city. He would talk to people and some people would reject. But if he stayed with this person forever, he couldn't get to all these other people in the town. He would move on and he would persevere and he would establish a congregation. I wonder if we're persevering the way we should in relation to evangelism. You know, if you don't sow seed, you don't expect a product. And I think Christians are starting to do that now. We're not spreading the gospel, but we're expecting a product. Yeah, the ground might be rough, but you're not even planting seed anymore. You know, it's kind of like looking in your backyard and expecting corn to grow up, but you've never planted corn. Are we preaching the word? Are we going out into our communities? Are we trying to spread the gospel as best we can? I haven't planted corn in my backyard. I'm not expecting corn in my backyard. But I wonder if Christians are saying, you know what? I haven't planted the seed of God, but I'm expecting some growth. I'm expecting some fruit. If we're not preaching, teaching the gospel, don't look for church growth. You know, we need some planning. You know, I do wonder sometimes in the relation to perseverance. Some people tell me, I don't know this for sure, but they said that we used to have 2-week gospel meetings. Is that true? Now, see, I'm young. We used to have. I've never been to a 2-week gospel meeting. I have never been to a 2-week gospel meeting. I haven't. But I want you to ask yourself the question: are we going the way that we should? Are we preaching the gospel and moving on the way that we should? Not giving up by any means. Are we persevering the way we should? You know, I think about that. People are saying America's going the wrong direction. But back when America was good, we had 2-week gospel meetings, but now we're down to 4. I'm just thinking, I don't have all the answers. I really don't. I don't. And I'm not saying 2-week gospel meetings the answer, but it just makes you wonder and think and contemplate, doesn't it? Are we getting away from the hard preaching that we see Paul doing? The going and seeking and saving the lost? Are we seeing the preaching to individuals and understanding that we have to move on from time to time when the gospel is rejected? Do we see the perseverance that these individuals show? Maybe that's some hard preaching. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to become a member of the church. Perhaps you've walked off of that straight narrow path. We would love you to become a Christian. We'd love you to be right with God. If there's any way we can help you, we'd love you to come as we stand as we sing.